Welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. And we welcome you guys back to this COVID edition of the Gopher Gridiron Radio podcast, where we haven't talked to you beautiful, beautiful listeners in 2 weeks because Gopher football got COVID. And Luke, you know who also got COVID?
PJ Fleck?
No, I did.
You did?
PJ Fleck got... Yeah. Stop.
Okay.
If PJ Fleck got COVID, I think everybody here would know. But Luke was kind enough to, since I can't go to the store and neither can my better half, he and his lovely wife cooked me up some, I believe it was lemon orzo chicken.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. So we dropped it over at your palatial estate. And I didn't even knock on your door. I texted you that it was there. And
imagine you text me because I could have done the awkward, like, hey, I'm in a bubble wave. Thanks for dropping me off food. But
yeah, I was in a hurry. You know, I got things to do. I got a 20-month-old. I'm busy. So,
yeah. So it's been a grind the last 2 weeks here because essentially when Gopher football decided to cancel things is when I started to get symptoms. And, I feel much better today than I did 2 weeks ago. But COVID is no joke. So that's where for a homebody like myself, it was a little frustrating to find out that you had COVID, even though you're wearing a mask and doing everything right. But it just be like that sometimes, you know, Luke?
It just be like that. All right. Just for the people, just guess what? This podcast is still brought to you by the Goal Line Club. Consider supporting them. Times are hard. People can't go to football games. Ticket sales are down. Gopher football still needs support. So if you want to support Gopher football, be a part of the Goal Line Club. Keep an eye out for events as they are going to have those coming up. So keep an eye out on those as well. GoalLineClub.org. All right, Ryan. So yeah, we probably need to talk a little bit of COVID. We touched on the fact that you've had it now. And you know, it did impact Gopher football. They haven't played for quite a while. Many of those players are out 21 days. That actually brings up a good question for me. Do you have to sit out 21 days from the 247 message boards, or how does that work?
God, ain't that. I wish I could have at points, because now that we're 7 days till signing day, it's been a little bit testier than normal on there. But I don't. Before I get into the kind of the COVID situation with the football team, I do want to state, Luke, we have one podcast review to read this week.
Oh, do we?
We do. It is from Pocket Gopher or Pocket Gopher. Left us a 5-star review, said great show every time. He is a Gopher fan of 58 plus years.
Wow.
I hope I'm around in 58 plus years. But he's your guy because he grew up in Cold Spring. Now he lives in Sauk Center. He lives for Gopher football, really appreciates the information that you, me, and Derek share on this podcast, as well as our objectivity. Learns a lot from Derek's insight, don't we all? He is a subscriber to Gopher Illustrated.
Good for him.
Luke, do you want to give the folks a plug for Gopher Illustrated?
I literally and figuratively, it's some amount of money. Make sure you check out Gopher.
You're just the worst. Can't even throw me a bone.
It's some amount of money. I don't know.
It's a buck for 30 days if you want to get in here the last week before signing day, or if you just want to bite the bullet because it's already worth the subscription. We're doing 60% off for new subscribers from now until signing day. You get a full year from this signing day essentially to next signing day of coverage for like $40, which is insane.
Yeah.
But my guy, Gopher Pocket, our Pocket Gopher loves to subscribe to GI podcast. He listens to the podcast to get the latest on Gopher recruiting and everything Gopher football related. Please keep up the great work. And thanks also to the Goal Line Club for sponsoring the podcast. Thank you, Goal Line Club.
Yeah, suggestion. No,
he wants us to have some former players on from time to time to share stories about rivalry games when they played ETC.
Oh, interesting.
Well, thank you, Pocket Gopher. Definitely take that into consideration here for the offseason.
Yeah, definitely.
But for COVID-related, Luke, it's obviously complicated because Minnesota is going to be missing somewhere between 20 and 25 players for this game, from what I've been told. And that's where it's going to get interesting at a couple of positions because anytime you're missing 20 to 25 players because of COVID-related incidents, it's a little dicey, especially in mid to late December here. And that's where, I guess the good news is, I'll share this first. I do expect running back Muhammad Ibrahim to return. You'll remember he missed the last couple of series against Purdue. Sounds like he's ready to go. It also sounds like Treyson Potts should be ready to go. He missed the final two games before the COVID break as well. So Minnesota gets their RB1 and RB2 back. I also expect Boye Mafe back, Minnesota's best pass rusher. Benjamin St. Juice should be ready to go. So he and Coney Durr should be able to hold things on the outside. But there are still going to be some absences up the middle there for Minnesota. But we don't know names because PJ Fleck doesn't release names.
Right.
So I'm going to try to do some digging here. If I get any names or any position groups, I think I've already dropped a position group or two on the GI message board that I've heard is going to be a little bit hit. Is going to be hit a little bit more than the other position groups, but it's going to look a little bit different on Saturday, but I'm just happy I get to cover a Gopher football game. And for someone who has had to cover four or five night games, I don't even remember how many it's been in this abbreviated 2020 season. I am all for team 11 a.m. games right now. I mean, I get to like, it's essentially like working a 9-to-5 at that point. And it's like, sweet, I get my nights and weekends back.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so I guess when we look at this game, the Gophers are obviously playing Nebraska. Nebraska has struggled this year. I think the Gophers has also struggled, at least to expectations they had early. That should be no surprise. But I guess when we look at the Gophers, when they're going to go against this defense, Ryan, what are we going to expect of this? What are we going to expect of this? This black shirt defense.
They haven't exactly been black shirts, and that's why they're 2-4, amongst other reasons, on offense and special teams. They're a very middling football team. I watched the game last week against Purdue. It was essentially a slap fight. Neither of those teams looked particularly good, but in the same breath, Minnesota hasn't really looked particularly good for most of the season. So that's where, for Minnesota's offense, it's not even like for the final two games here. The opponent's defense really doesn't necessarily concern me because this is a weird year. The records are what they are, and Minnesota's 2-3. But where I'm at with Minnesota's offense is you don't have Rashad Bateman.
Yep.
And what's Minnesota's offense going to look like? Mm-hmm. The two big things, as I mentioned, number one, how does the passing offense and the offense as a whole operate without Bateman? Because Bateman commanded nearly a 50% target share. I think it was at 48%, which is absurd. Again, for those of you who don't know what target share is, 48% of Tanner Morgan's passes were targeted right at Rashad Bateman. So now he's gone. So you're looking at if Tanner Morgan throws the ball 30 times in a game, 15 of those were going to Bateman. Well, now 15 of those have to go to somebody else. Now, obviously, the biggest beneficiary of it is probably going to be Chris Ottman-Bell, someone that I think is going to get I'd be absolutely gobsmacked and bewildered if he did not get somewhere between 10 and 15 targets on Saturday. Now, who else is going to get playing time? I would love to see Daniel Jackson get an 80% snap share. I would also love to see a lot of the other younger receivers like Michael Brown Stevens or Doug Emelin get snaps. Because, I mean this statement, and you tell me if I'm off base, Luke. I mean this as no offense to the older guys in that receiver room, but what's the point of giving, say, Clay Geary 75% of the snaps in the slot when I would much rather just see what you have in Michael Brown Stevens or Doug Emelin?
I mean, at that point, what you're doing is you're giving Clay Geary an opportunity to, go out having played a bunch of time, and then he can move on to life after football. But that's probably about it, and that doesn't benefit you in 2021.
And that's where I'm at, is I want to see something different, especially from this pass-catching core. I haven't heard if Brevin Spanford's going to be back from whatever his foot injury was, but let's give some of these younger guys some snaps. Now, I'm not saying take snaps away from, say, Kokeef or Bryce Witham or something like that to get Brevin out there, but with no Bateman out there, why can't you give Brevin more snaps as a pass catcher? I don't know. And the other big thing that I want to see from this offense against Nebraska, and I'll get into it in my keys to the game, is for the love of God, can the fourth quarter offense just be cool? Like, can it just be cool, man? Because I'm so sick and tired of Minnesota getting to the fourth quarter and their offense just going into their turtle shell and just, and that's something I asked PJ Fleck about on Monday, was I essentially got the only football question in there. Was I asked Fleck, not verbatim, something along the lines of, your fourth quarter offense has been sad compared to the first three quarters. How do you get it going in the fourth quarter, and how do you keep the gas on it for all 60 minutes? And of course, you know, he said the right things, talked about we need to be more balanced in the fourth quarter. It's all on him. You know, he's going to make some changes, but it's the old adage that I've talked about on this podcast before, and I'll say it again. I learned it from an early age from my father when I was growing up. It's, I hear what you say, but I trust what you do. And I hear PJ Fleck acknowledging that it's an issue, but is he actually going to address it if this game is close in the fourth quarter, or is Minnesota just going to continue to? And here, so I got the stats because, you know, I'm a big stat guy. I try to justify things with numbers. It's the Calc 4 in me that I'd never get to use anymore. So Minnesota against Maryland and Purdue. Why I picked those two games? Two games where Minnesota had leads. The three-score fourth quarter game where Minnesota blew a lead in the fourth quarter against Maryland. And then the Purdue game last where they also had a lead and they should have blown it except for the defense. And Purdue's special teams suck. Minnesota ran 22 combined plays in those fourth quarters. Luke, can you guess how many of those were rushing attempts?
All but six. I don't know.
There were 19 rushing attempts on the 22 plays. Can you guess how many yards were gained on those 19 rushing attempts?
Let's go 51.
19. They averaged 1 yard per carry, which is incredibly sad. It didn't gain a single first down in either of those fourth quarters. And I think there were 0 of 2 on fourth down in both of those fourth quarters. And it's just like, why do we need to – here's what I'll say, and then we can kind of transition to what Minnesota's defense needs to do. But Fleck has talked about how he acknowledges – that the 2020 team wins differently than the 2019 team. Fleck's verbatim word that he likes to use is the fingerprint of the team.
Right.
AKA, you know, the 2020 team's fingerprint and the identity, they're a lot different than 2019. Well, again, I hear that you're saying that, but I'm watching you try to win games in 2020 like you did in 2019, and this 2020 offense just isn't really good at salting games away on the ground. So why not diversify it through the air and try something different? That's all I'm trying to say. That's all I'm trying to say. But Luke, before we kind of get to Minnesota's defense broad overview against Nebraska's offense, how has your insurance been lately?
You know, I'm slightly frustrated. Do you think anybody can help me?
I think so, because 2020 has certainly been a year of unexpected and challenging events. Myself alone can attest for what the last 2 weeks have been like for me. Now, one thing you can count on is having the right protection and an insurance agent on your side. And the Burns Insurance Agency, owned by my father, Bill Burns, is the company to help with life's unexpected events. Whether it's an auto accident, a broken water pipe at your home or business, the Burns Insurance Agency will have you covered. His independent insurance agency has access to over 20 different insurance companies to shop for the best coverage at the best price for you. So let the Burns Insurance Agency do the insurance shopping for you this year. To find out more, go to insurancebyburns.com or email him at bill@insurancebyburns.com.
All right. So when the Gophers are on defense, a couple things that I wanted to highlight. You know, through six games, Taylor Martinez still has fewer
yards. Taylor Martinez?
Boy.
Who? Adrian Martinez? Hello?
Hold on. There was a Taylor Martinez, but who did he play for? This is a long term.
Who in the world is Taylor? I'm going to Google this.
I don't know. But Adrian Martinez, man, I just totally screwed that up.
No, that's fine.
So Adrian Martinez has 689 yards.
Taylor Martinez was actually a quarterback for Nebraska.
Yes, I know.
Earlier. He's 30 now.
Yeah. Well, okay, good. But
he's older than me.
Can I at least get a pass on that? That's not that ridiculous.
Okay. No, I'm not giving you a pass.
Okay. So he has, through six games, has fewer passing yards than Tanner Morgan. He has half the number of touchdowns. He only has one interception on the season. He is kind of splitting duties with, I believe it isn't it Luke McCaffrey?
Correct.
At quarterback. And Luke McCaffrey is primarily a ball carrier. He's actually their leading ball carrier at 65 carries and 364 yards and 3 touchdowns. But this offense puts up a fair number of points. It's not terrible. It's 23.7 per game, but it's not much better than their blackshirt defense, which is giving up 31.7 per game. So Nebraska's not terribly a good football team, but you know, Minnesota's coming off of their COVID string. What is Minnesota going to have to do to stop this offense?
Stop the running quarterbacks.
Yes.
Just stop them, and you got a pretty dang good shot.
Which, because that doesn't bode well, because the one time we actually played a running quarterback, that just didn't go well.
Right. Taulia Tungavaiola,
yeah,
absolutely decimated them for 2 touchdowns and I think 70 rushing yards. And he did, when he escaped the pocket, it was bad. And now you look at the 2 leading rushers in Nebraska's offense, that'd be the 2 quarterbacks. It's a strange thing to kind of get into Nebraska's offense, because Minnesota's run defense, it's still as bad as you remember it. They're averaging over 9 yards a carry to running backs.
Mm-hmm.
But Nebraska's running backs are having significant issues gaining yards.
Yes.
The 3 leading rushers for Nebraska right now, 6 games into the year, are the 2 quarterbacks and then Wandale Robinson, who is essentially Rondale Moore light. They move him around. They do a lot of jet sweeps, get him in space, different things like that. But their true traditional tailback is not having really any success. And it's not just him, it's anybody. I think they're averaging under 3.5 yards per carry from the running backs. So if you don't have to worry about the running backs as much, you need to figure out how to stop the 2 quarterbacks. Because when Luke McCaffrey's in the game, mm-hmm. he's going to run the freaking football.
Mm-hmm.
This is the easiest tell out of all tells. If Luke McCaffrey's first read isn't there, he's going to run.
Mm-hmm.
If it's 3rd and long and Luke McCaffrey's in the game, they're going to call a QB draw. I can guarantee it. Now, from talking with our Nebraska 24/7 site, Mr. Brian Christofferson, spoke with him today. It sounds like Adrian Martinez is the guy right now.
Mm-hmm.
They were splitting time in the previous couple games, but in their last game against Purdue is Adrian Martinez time. Now, folks will remember Adrian Martinez 2 years ago in Lincoln, the last time Minnesota was there. He absolutely destroyed them. 275 yards through the air, 125 on the ground. And he is incredibly capable of doing that again against this defense on Saturday.
And that was the beginning the beginning of the end of Rob Smith, for the record.
Yes, it was. Well, was that Nebraska game before or after Illinois?
No,
I think it was before.
I think it was
the week before.
It was the week before, I'm pretty sure, because then they played Illinois and it was basically back-to-back weeks of just like, how is that even possible? Did anybody tackle anybody?
Yeah. I think you're right. I think you are right, because it was some random Illinois quarterback who just destroyed that defense. And then Joe Rossi got in here. But if I'm Joe Rossi this time around, my number one thing has make the Nebraska quarterbacks beat you with their arms, because it hasn't been great through the air. It hasn't been for Nebraska. I think they have 6 interceptions, the 3 passing touchdowns. Essentially, their only passing game option is Wandale Robinson. He is by far their leading receiver. So if you can figure out a way to keep the running quarterbacks in check and figure out a way to keep Wandale Robinson in check, and you make them earn it on the ground with the running backs, that's the way I'd like to go if I'm going to have to go
mm-hmm.
on Saturday.
Yeah. You know, Nebraska, they're not a very good football team, but I think we do have to acknowledge the fact that, like you said this, the Gophers are going to be down people. They're obviously down Bateman, etc. The other thing that we just can't gloss over is the fact that they haven't really practiced in how long. And what's this bring to like player safety? You know, they're basically coming back with maybe a week-ish of practice, and it's probably not full go. You know, what are the concerns there?
That's a great point, is because Minnesota had 10 days off during that time where they paused team activities, which meant no one could get into the facilities, more or less. They were not practicing as a team. They started conditioning, I believe, on Friday and Saturday and Sunday to get back into the swing of things. So they'd been off for 10 days, and now they got to come back and on essentially 1 week worth of practice. And as they can try to get their conditioning back up, they got to go play a football game. Now, you can say, I mean, you can believe what you want to believe about if it's safe, if it's not safe. All I know is these Gopher players want to play.
Yeah.
And I know that there's been some people on the Twitter machine or on Gopher Illustrated that are like, well, Minnesota's down 20-25. Guys, why are we playing this game? We're going to lose.
It's not like they have 52. It's like a 53-man roster like the NFL. But yeah.
Well, they're going to be down into the 50s.
But I mean,
the travel roster, but it's going
to
be weird.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, you know, if the NFL was down 20 guys, you're down to like, you know, 30.
There'd be a lot of practice squad dudes up.
Yeah, right. I mean, I know they intentionally bumped that in the NFL, but like in college here, you've got, you know, over 100 players usually, right? So you've got a pool of bodies to be able to pull from, but still, yeah, this isn't an ideal situation by any stretch of the imagination.
Right. And again, I see the Nebraska people saying, well, Fleck's already making excuses. You know, when Minnesota loses this weekend, they would have lost already. Like Nebraska is just GTFO. I mean, they're going to be coming down to you with like 55 guys. Like, are they more than capable of winning this game? Sure. It's just like, here's the reality is these guys were off for 10 days. Now they're not. And they're going to try to go out and win a football game with who they have. And, you know, I'm just excited to be able to cover a game on Saturday.
Yeah, I think, you know, your cohort for KFAN, Justin Gard, has said a number of times over, and I agree with him wholeheartedly, that all these games are a gift, right? In this weird pandemic situation, every game is a gift, and enjoy it, you know, win or loss, because the reality is we had it taken from us, and we're getting it back, and that's exciting. And, you know, this season doesn't really account for all that much, right? People are going to look back and hopefully kind of forget this year in general, and, you know, probably the football part too, but look at this as an opportunity for guys to grow, guys to get some experience going into 2021. All right, so before we get to your keys to your game, Ryan, I do think that we need to get another word in from the Goal Line Club. Again, if you want to be a part of the Goal Line Club, go to their website, goalineclub.org. They sponsor a number of things for Gopher football. They give contributions year in and year out. They go towards things like getting jackets for people on recruiting visits. I know that's not happening this year, but there are lots of needs within Gopher football to help them remain competitive. You often hear about the arms race, and they play a minor role in that arms race, but it's a way to support Gopher football. If you're looking for a way to do that, obviously join the Goal Line Club, goalineclub.org. Additionally, keep an eye out for any events that they have. They have been fun to have some virtual events, and they've had some interesting guests, etc. So goalineclub.org. Okay, before we get to your keys to your game, Ryan, did you check the spread when it opened? What did it open at?
Opened at 10.
Okay, and Nebraska, it moved to 10.5. So it didn't move much.
Well, the crazy part is it moved to like 8.
Oh, did
it?
When
I last saw it, and then when I last saw it, it was like 11.5, and now it's back down to 10. Wow. So depending on where you got it at, now it's back down to 11 or 10.5, however you want to look at it. But the over under has dropped by 5 or 6 points.
Yeah, I got 59 here. What do you got?
Yeah, 59.5.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. So the Gophers are 2-3 on the season. They're 2-3 against the spread. Nebraska is 2-4. They're 3-3 against the spread. This game is at 11 a.m. Okay, so let's get into your keys to the game, Ryan. Obviously, I think my number one key to the game, and I'm going to put this in, is walk out with as few injuries as possible.
Yeah, I suppose. My first key to the game, I already touched on it briefly, was Fleck and Sanford need to be more aggressive on offense. Because everyone likely listening to this knows the Gophers are 2-3. But today I actually learned that they're 2-3 and they have a minus 24 point differential. So essentially they are third in the Big Ten in terms of times of possession. They've been holding the ball for an average of about 34 minutes a game, yet they're 2-3.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you could talk about your game theory in terms of at that point, you're just losing quicker at that pace. But it appears Minnesota's in no rush, and they're just going to run their offense regardless of circumstance. But as I mentioned, I asked PJ Fleck this week and in recent weeks about the fingerprint, quote unquote, of his football team being different in 2020 than 2019. And you just really want to see them understand, and by them, Fleck and Sanford, that if Minnesota's going to win this week or next week, when whoever next week's opponent is to be determined, maybe we can close the show with that discussion. But you're not able to win in 2020 the way you were in 2019. You can't salt it away.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to keep your foot on the gas for all 60 minutes. You just need to. And I mentioned it earlier, those two games against Maryland and Purdue were against Maryland. Minnesota blows a 3-score fourth quarter lead. Purdue, they nearly blow it. Then Purdue special teams comes up and isn't very good. Minnesota makes an interception when it matters. They ran 11 plays in each of those fourth quarters. And as I mentioned earlier, 19 of them, of those 22 total plays, were runs. They gained a total of 19 yards. That's 1 yard per gain. So they threw the ball a total of 3 times in 2 fourth quarters. And it's no surprise that Sanford's fourth quarter offense in those two contests failed to gain a first down. They were 0 of 5, even though I believe the average down and distance for those third downs was about 4 yards. So not great. Yet Minnesota kind of continues to shove the proverbial square peg into the round hole. So I think it needs to change. And with Rashad Bateman out for the remainder of the season, I am incredibly curious to see how the Gophers passing game looks. As I mentioned, Bateman was commanding nearly a 50% target share. So you're going to have 13, 15, 17 targets up for grabs against a Nebraska pass defense that on paper is average to below average. They rank 10th in the Big Ten out of 14 teams in pass defense efficiency, and they have allowed the 4th most yards per reception. So there should be some potential things there for the Minnesota passing game. Now in the running game, I do believe you're going to see another performance that's going to make you proud of the Minnesota Moving Company if they have all their guys there up front. If they don't, it's a different story because Nebraska's front seven isn't what Iowa's were. And against middling Big Ten defenses, when Minnesota's healthy on their offensive line, the Minnesota Moving Company up front has shown that they can shine. As I mentioned, though, the question is how many starters on Minnesota's offensive line are out, if there are any, because if it's multiple, that changes the whole dynamic of the running game. I also, as I mentioned, I think that Mo Ibrahim and Trayson Potts are going to be back for this game. But regardless, the point remains. Fleck and Sanford need to be aggressive with this offense. Take shots down the field. Move your playmakers around. And for the love of all that is holy, do not call outside zone on third and long in the kicker field. It's a simple ask there, Luke. Number two, you got to stop the running Nebraska quarterbacks. The reality for Minnesota's defense here, they cannot stop running backs. Running backs have carried the ball 95 times against the Gopher defense. That's roughly 19 times per game. They're averaging those running backs on those 95 carries, 9.04 yards per carry, which is insanely horrible. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how Scott Frost and the Nebraska offense decide they want to exploit this defense for Minnesota. Because, as I mentioned, they've been incredibly inefficient with their running backs. Wandale Robinson is Rondale Moore light. He's more of a wide receiver than he is a running back. And that's where their two leading rushers for Nebraska, Adrian Martinez and Luke McCaffrey, they are quarterbacks. Wandale is more of a wide receiver. And then your first true running back that steps up there is Dedrick Mills, and he's averaging 3.3 yards per carry. So if you're Joe Rossi, you have to stop Martinez and McCaffrey because they're outstanding with their legs. They have combined, or Martinez has 432 yards with his legs. McCaffrey has 321. Both of them are averaging over 5 yards a carry. And as Luke alluded to earlier, the only rushing quarterback that Minnesota has faced was Taulia Tungoviola, the Maryland kid. And he ran for 2 scores and about 70 yards on 8 carries.
And they weren't really looking to run him either, if I remember correctly.
Like, they were not.
Yeah.
And I can assure you, here's my next point, Luke. Anytime McCaffrey's in the game, the Gophers need to have 42 in the box. Now, realistically, more of 8, but the young signal caller has struggled with his accuracy. He's got 5 interceptions to 1 touchdown. He's got nearly as many rushing attempts as he does passing attempts. So when he's in the game, you have to play the run first because he's really good with his legs. They're also going to do some weird things with 2 quarterbacks in the backfield. And then they like do like RPO to McCaffrey.
Yep.
A little interesting. Now, many Gopher fans will remember Martinez is more than capable. He amassed 400 plus yards of total offense in this game just 2 years ago, including 125 with his legs. So it's been proven that both quarterbacks can move the chains with their legs. But the key is keeping them in the pocket and forcing them to beat you with their arms, because they only have 3 touchdowns to 6 interceptions. If you can keep those two guys in check and then figure out how to slow down, Wandale Robinson, who's the best skill position player from the Nebraska offense, it could be good. Or it's going to be the Minnesota defense and it's not going to be so great. So Joe Rossi's got a lot on his plate this week. And Luke, could you imagine what my final key to the game might be?
Special teams don't burn yourself. Us.
Special teams cannot beat a dumpster fire. Please don't. Because it's death, taxes, and Minnesota special teams just not helping. 13 straight games in my game preview, Luke. I have wrote that, and it remains the same. Minnesota's dead last in PATs percentage. They rank dead last in yards per punt, 12th in net yards per punt. Last game against Purdue, the kickoff return unit cost the offense 18 yards of field position compared to if they just fair caught the kickoff. Dragan Kesic kicked one out of bounds. Brock Walker missed an extra point that proved to be enormous at the end of that game, where Purdue could have just kicked a field goal to tie it. So here's where it's at. Just don't hurt the team.
Luke,
you tell me, is this unreasonable? Here's what I want. Fair catch every kickoff so the offense can just start at the bloody 25 and not way deep in their end. Is that too much of an ask?
I mean, it's fairly reasonable.
How about Mark Crawford getting into one and flipping the field? Because the Gophers have 2 50-yard punts in their last 60, that is 6-0 attempts. It is now stretched over 2 calendar years since Minnesota last made a 41-yard field goal or longer. I'd love to see that happen. And I just want Dragan Kesic to keep it in bounds. Is any of that way too much? I didn't even talk about the punt return game that is incredibly inept. But is like fair catching every kickoff and making every extra point way too much to ask?
No.
Sweet. That's my keys to the game.
All right, let's talk about week 9. Obviously, we don't know the opponent, but I think it should be interesting to speculate now that the Gophers have had 2 games canceled. Obviously, those being the Northwestern and Wisconsin games. Most magnifying would be the Wisconsin game, which has played something like 100 plus years in a row. And if the schedule goes according to plan, they should play a team from the East, not necessarily the team from the East. They would play a team from the Eastern part of the conference. So what do you think happens, Ryan? You think they get this done with Wisconsin?
I don't know, because here's where we're at as of Wednesday night here. The Big Ten just changed all the rules for Ohio State because they're the golden goose of the conference.
I mean, okay, can we just be really honest with ourselves right now?
Sure.
They kind of are the conference, right? Like, they win it year in and year out. They're the most consistent. They're the most nationally relevant.
They are the theoretical most important team in the conference, because especially if they make the college football playoff, then the Big Ten gets that college football playoff money, which they can distribute to each one of the 14 Big Ten teams, which the Bills 14 Big Ten teams and their athletic directors and their athletic departments can use to try and offset some deficits.
Which honestly, like, makes some sense. And
does
sense
it suck if you're like Indiana?
Yeah,
damn
sure.
Right it does.
Yeah, it does. But like in all reality, Indiana also lost to them, right?
They did.
Like,
yes. They lost. They gave Ohio State their best shot.
It
was close and a great game, but I get it. But the reality also here is, for Minnesota here, they have absolutely no idea who they're going to play, because number one, Luke, as we go into this week, I don't know what week it is, the second to last 8th week to the year.
Yeah.
Can you guess how many teams of the 14 teams in the Big Ten have 2 wins?
Oh, man, I'm not looking at the standing. I'd say most of them.
10.
Yeah.
10 of the 14 teams have 2 wins. So it's like you have absolutely no idea that if it is the West versus the East, Minnesota's got no damn idea who they're going to play. Now, here's what I'll also say. Does Minnesota want to play Wisconsin? Yes. Does Wisconsin want to play Minnesota?
Yeah.
Yes. That's all great and fine and dandy, but neither one of those schools has any say in the matter.
Right.
They have absolutely zero. They can – I don't even know what leverage they would have in terms of pressure to put on the Big Ten. to say,
I mean, the only thing,
let us play our rivalry game.
I mean, the only thing that I could think that they could maybe say is they could probably build a case for viewership, right?
But I guess. I mean,
most of the ad spots, I got to imagine, are already
probably fixed. Yeah, it's not like they're
right.
They're
but moving. I mean, that's the only thing that I think they could have, because I think nationally it might gain some relevance just for the fact that like they made it happen, even though it shouldn't have.
I guess. I mean, in all reality, should Minnesota be like a, what are they? I think they open as 3 touchdown underdogs. And you're damn right, they should be 3 touchdown underdogs. And does Minnesota understand they're probably going to get?
Yeah,
they're probably going to lose. Yeah,
I mean,
they still want to play the game.
I mean, we haven't predicted the game, this game with Nebraska yet, but I don't expect the Gophers to win another game unless they find a way into a bowl game.
Unless they actually do get a crossover, and their crossover is like Michigan State or Rutgers.
But Michigan State's also had a couple decent wins,
and so has Rutgers. Rutgers right. has shown up in a couple like, games, so has Michigan State.
I just think these immediate games in week 8 and week 9. I don't
Luke,
have, what?
Luke, we didn't even talk about your favorite game from this past weekend.
Oh, yeah, we didn't.
You got to give, because you know what's a realistic possibility here, too? Kirk Shiraka versus Joe Rossi.
Yeah.
And you know what was last weekend for the people? Kirk Shiraka versus Rob Smith.
Yeah, it actually
the
was.
The former OC versus the former DC.
It was,
I knew everyone was on the edge of their seats. I can't believe we forgot.
It was not a good game. It was such.
It sucked.
It was such a crappy game. I literally had it taped. I had been looking forward to it because I thought that Penn State was going to be really good, and I thought that Rob Smith was just going to completely trash. They actually had an all right game plan, but let's be honest, the Penn State offense isn't great. In addition, and that's not I don't think that's a reflection of Kirk Shiraka. I think that's a reflection of, you know, out Journey Brown, out some other pieces, right? And then the other
quarterback just isn't really good.
Yeah, it's not McSorley.
You're one of a system.
It's not McSorley. What's his name again? I'm forgetting.
Sean Clifford.
Sean Clifford. He wasn't very good last year. Like, he's just not very good. And then number two, Rutgers' offense is wholly bad. They are so bad. And
as bad as Penn State's offense is, I am scared thinking about the things that Kirk Shiraka could scheme up against this current iteration of Minnesota's defense.
Oh, man. Dude.
We're getting sidetracked. Let's get to our predictions to get the hell out of here.
Okay, yeah. So just real quick, we mentioned that the Gophers are a 10-point underdog, 10.5-point underdog. The over-under is 59. This game is at 11 a.m. If you're looking at the weather, I do think this is going to play a minor factor in this game. I don't know if you know, Ryan, this is an 11 a.m. kick in Lincoln. Overnight, Sweet. It's supposed to be 1 to 2 inches of snow, and it's going to be cool. Kickoff is going to be
actually?
Yeah. Yeah, kickoff is going to be about 30-ish degrees. Let me just pull up the wind here real quick.
It's supposed to be windy out of the north.
Yeah,
that.
15 miles an hour. So
interesting. So we're going to have some the snow will be cleared off by then.
I would imagine.
It does taper off.
And the wind is going to taper as the game goes on. But, you know, right at kickoff, you're looking at about 15. And, you know, around 2 o'clock, you're looking at close to, you know, 12-ish, so it's going to taper a little bit, but it should be an interesting ball game.
So what's your prediction?
I got, as much as it pains me to say, I just think that, you know, knowing that they're gonna have 20-ish guys out, I don't know what the situation is going to be there. I'm going to speculate that it's kind of bad, and I'm just going to assume I'm going to give Nebraska I'm going to give them a 24-21 victory.
So Luke's on the under.
I'm on the under. I'm going to say it's going to be closer, but I think.
Wow, you've got a lot more faith in this Gopher defense than I do. 24 points is all they're going to allow. I like you being bullish.
If the Gophers are going to win, though, let me give a situation where the Gophers are going in. The Gophers are going to have to put up like 30 plus points.
They're going to have to force like 4 turnovers.
Yeah, they're going to have to force turnovers. They're going to have to put up like 30 plus points, and it'll still be close, I think.
So for those of you who already forgot, the TLDR is for Minnesota. Be aggressive on offense. Keep the foot on the gas pedal. Defensively, contain the two Husker quarterbacks in the pocket and make them beat you with your arms. And then for the love of God, special teams, don't kill the team. And I wish I knew every single player that was going to be out. And I don't, as we currently sit here, because Fleck keeps that on Fort Knox and it's just impossible to get out. And I'm sure we'll get a Pete Thamel bomb because Fleck will leak it to his agent, who will then leak it to Thamel, who will then tweet something before the game. But it's, I just think that there's going to be a position group or two that is, you're going to look out there and be like, what is happening here? Why are those guys playing? And because that's going to be the case, I can't see Minnesota winning unless they come up with a performance of all performances. I think they keep it close, but I have not nearly enough faith that Luke does have in this Gopher defense to keep it in check. While number one, the offense figures out how to move the ball without Bateman. So not enough bodies, and the Huskers get their third victory of the season. Minnesota goes to 2-4. Gophers lose 35-24. AKA, I'm taking everything Vegas said.
Yeah, I probably should have taken. Yeah, I don't know.
If I was betting this game, of which no way I would touch this game 25 out, I would take the over, I guess. But Luke would take the under. So if you want to put some money down on that game, good luck to you.
I wouldn't recommend anything.
I'm just happy we get Derek Burns back on the podcast.
It'll be interesting.
I haven't heard his voice in a while.
Yeah, I haven't either. It'll be interesting to chat through this game because I think it's going to be a real weird experience. I, like you, am excited to have a morning game, as weird as that is to say.
Night games are fun when there's a crowd.
They're fun when you have all day to prepare for them. They're not fun
when you have all day, and for like people like the listeners, and they have all day to liquidate themselves and get ready.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely, they're fun, but like for COVID, I mean,
it's
like
the worst.
I said, hell yeah, 9 to 5, in and out, bing bong boom.
Yeah,
let's do it.
All right, so everybody, thank you for listening. Appreciate your patience in the hiatus. Obviously, our thoughts and prayers go out to Mr. Burns as he recovers. he's doing well. I've talked to him numerous times. I text him just about every day.
I'm doing a lot better today than I was yesterday or a week ago or 2 weeks ago. It's my better half who now has it and ain't doing too great. But
yeah, so, you know, all right.
It is what it is.
Well, thank you for listening, and go Gophers.